Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Weekend Catch-Up Podcast, where we get you caught up on all things tech, pop culture, and trending news. This is Isaac, host of the podcast, along with my wife, Bree.
There are two buttons, and I was like, which? They sound a little different, though. Here's one.
Yeah.
That's really loud.
That's
and then
one.
I have one on my phone. That one's a little better.
It's a little bit more like subdued. A little bit smaller. Yeah, it's kind of just further away from the room.
Yeah.
So we have a ton of big stuff to talk about. Bree, you described this episode as chonky.
Beefy.
You described it as beefy. We've got a lot of big topics to dive into.
Oh my gosh.
Two of them about the food industry. Just getting crazy.
All of them are about lawsuits except one.
Yeah, pretty much. And even that one.
Get
might,
ready. Buckle
all
up.
Of them might be lawsuit related. So
they are all lawsuit.
If
related.
You're interested in that, pop culture lawsuits, then get ready. And if not, you don't need to take Dramamine today because we're about to put you to sleep if you aren't into that.
No, they're still fun. They're still fun.
They're
topics.
Very interesting, I would say.
Yeah.
I like how we're like justifying this episode's existence.
Isaac did the research. That's all I can say.
Okay.
I pick the topics.
All right. Well, strap in because we're about to get wild. This is episode 41 of the Weekend Catch-Up
41?
Podcast.
41?
Yeah, 41.
Wow.
I know. We out here. We
That's
doing
so
this.
Many.
It's so many. It's podcast is now middle-aged.
Aw, that's sweet.
All right. Let's jump in. All right, so Bree, this first one is something that you and I are both intimately familiar with, the Domino's pizza ordering system.
Yes, very familiar with that. We've recently switched, so we're not Domino's anymore.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
You can DM me if you want to know our new pizza place recommendation. It's a little place that you might not know of. I don't know. It's no big deal. It's Pizza Hut.
Okay, I was like, are you telling? Well, yeah, we get Pizza Hut because they do thin crust better.
Yeah, it's very cheap. So basically this all flared up. Domino's is going to the Supreme Court because basically a guy tried to order their pizza using their custom app, the pizza building feature of the app. And he noticed that the special program that he's using, because he can't see very well, wouldn't let him use the website or the Domino's app to order his pizza. So basically,
did you mention that he's blind?
Yes, he's blind.
Okay, he's blind.
So he is suing them. This guy's name is Guillermo Robles. He's suing Domino's for allegedly failing to comply with the American Disability Act. So basically, he's saying because he cannot effectively order food through the app or through the website, Domino's is in violation of the ADA.
So when I read this article, I immediately thought, how can you be accessible to blind people on a digital medium?
Mm-hmm.
But apparently you explain this.
Yes.
So there's a text reader.
Right. So there are text readers for people who are blind or have certain vision impairments. Basically, when you are doing the coding of the website, and here's where people can go to sleep and take a quick nap if they want.
No, make it quick. Talk about coding real quick.
When you're doing the coding of the website, you can put a picture of, let's say we call it a koala, right?
Okay.
So you say image source equals href koala, and that's where your koala JPEG. But then you do another command that says an image of a koala. That way, if someone's doing like a text reader on the website, when it rolls over that image, it'll be able to audibly tell that person, this is an image of a koala.
So when you're doing the coding on the back end,
yes.
You can put in a little, hey, there's a koala on the page.
Right. You can do a special like command that if someone's using a text reader, for the most part, it'll work.
Okay.
The problem with that is that sometimes with newer updates to text readers, sometimes that stuff gets lost in the mix.
Well, and then some websites, they don't do it at all, right?
Right.
So Domino's, they don't do it at all with their little program.
It's considered very good to do that. I don't know that it's explicitly required.
So it's not a law yet that you have to require
And
it.
See, that's kind of where this case is going, because Domino's is making the case that, look, we have a physical location. If you have visual impairments, you can come to our physical location, order your pizza, and then bing, bang, boom, you got a pizza. They're making the case that the digital space, so online spaces, it would be so difficult for companies to make every single piece of their media content visible and usable for text readers like this, that it would effectively like shut businesses down. So they're making the case that if you have to make every single video, GIF, image, text paragraph,
or GIF
feature of your website, they're saying that that is such an undertaking that it might just bankrupt and close down companies because...
Can I go ahead and give my two cents here?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think that is a load of poop.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I think it is. I think that, well, I think that that thought is. So when laws are made for this kind of stuff, they give them a, like a leeway period anyway, to get all their stuff up to date. Okay. And I think that, you know, you could say that it, anything could shut down businesses. Come on.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's silly.
So
it's just silly.
So here's kind of one of the opinions that they put forward in one of the lower circuit courts. They said, since before the advent of the internet, department stores have sent customers mail order catalogs. Companies have also deployed door-to-door salesmen and maintained telephone hotlines as additional ways for customers to place orders without having to visit physical locations. Those methods parallel today's website and mobile apps. So they're drawing a one-to-one comparison between in-person sales reps, phone calls, and websites and mobile apps. Yet, under the Ninth Circuit's view, these long-standing methods would have violated the ADA unless the mail order catalogs were available in Braille, the door-to-door salesman knew American Sign Language, and the telephone hotlines were equipped with for the hearing impaired. So they're saying that, look, we've been sending out people alternate means of engaging with our business for years now, and we didn't require catalogs to be in Braille.
Yeah, but no one used those. Come on.
Right. So this
I ordered something from JCPenney this week.
Right.
Online. I had it delivered to the store. I have not seen a JCPenney catalog in a millennia.
Yeah. So the reason that people are kind of making this a big deal and the reason that this is kind of going beyond pizza, Scott, my coworker here at the radio station, actually showed me this article, because if this passes and the American Disabilities Act includes now the requirement for websites to all be ADA compliant, it will effectively change the way that we consume digital media. Think about every video you've watched. Think about every website you've visited today, every app that you use today. We've never really considered if they're ADA compliant, because I would say for the most of us, we don't have alternate ability like lifestyles. We, we can't do that. But this might change the way digital media is produced, because that's a lot of whether or not it's right for Domino's to make this argument. The reality is that it is a lot of back end code work that needs to go into making every single piece of media content ADA compliant.
I just feel like you could say that about anything, because we've had to update things over the years to be, you know, readable on iPhones and, you know, coding stuff on the back end. But this one is just is different because it's impacting people that have a disability and there's laws protecting them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it may be a little bit more work on the front end, but eventually it'll just become the norm, that like everything else is.
Yeah. So it looks like one opinion in this court's article, which remind me to put this in the footnotes before we're out today, because this is a pretty big article.
Hey, I put it in the footnotes before we're out of here today.
Good reminder. Yeah. So at the end of this, they're basically speculating on what the Supreme Court will rule, because in past cases, like handling Facebook and Twitter and whether or not convicted and released felons can use them, they're basically saying that if you deprive people of access to social media, you're effectively depriving them of access to the town square, because that's where.
Yes, but it's not all felons.
Right.
It's not all felons. It's people that are on the sex offender registry.
Right. So that's a supporting viewpoint, but kind of like the underlying.
I'm here for the supporting viewpoint of this.
Well, right. The underlying thing there is that the internet and life are so deeply entwined now that Domino's is probably going to have a hard time explaining how the American disability definition of public accommodations could exclude the internet at this point. Because in the past, the Supreme Court has basically said the internet is where we have most of our dialogue now.
Yeah.
And you can't just kind of write that off as just like a bonus thing, because it's where we live. I mean, you're consuming this podcast right now via the internet. And, you know, to be honest, I have never even considered whether or not this podcast has been done in a way that makes it okay for hearing impaired people to listen to. So
on the coding end,
it's pretty wild. It's pretty wild. So this is definitely going to be one of those things to watch, because once the Supreme Court has already ruled in the past that, the internet is basically life for us, Domino's might have a hard time working against this one. So
funny story. My JCPenney order just got canned. That is no joke.
That was that ding.
That ding. That's what that is. My shoes are here. We'll be right back.
Okay, Brie. So when I'm looking at job descriptions and stuff for very millennial-esque, Gen Z-esque jobs, how about meme liaison to Instagram? What do you think
I'm
about
sorry,
that?
I was going to say something that I just...
No, do it. Do it.
No, I don't.
No, do it. Say it.
What were you... It just... It really... I feel like I'm a meme liaison. I feel like I am that. I constantly am thinking in memes and I'm like, I should make that a meme. And then I.
So you just like, you could maybe do this job then.
I could totally do this.
Okay. So basically what we're getting at.
I could liaise.
You could liaise for memes.
Yeah.
So Instagram announced this position on Tuesday of this week, an effort to basically make up for purging 142 meme accounts.
Yeah, so Instagram deleted.
Yeah, they straight up like put on ice 142 different meme accounts.
Meme accounts, okay.
Totaling up to, I mean, millions.
Now, I tell us what a meme account is.
Okay, all right, people know what meme accounts are.
Does everybody?
So a meme account is essentially like any memes that you've seen on Instagram.
What is a meme?
Oh my gosh. So anytime you've seen like any sort of memes on Instagram, typically they come from meme accounts that either create original content or share it from other content creators.
Sometimes without their permission.
Right. Sometimes okay. Attributing works and sometimes not. The crazy thing is that some of these meme accounts have actually been making some money. There's a 16-year-old that said he was making upwards of $4,000 a month off of selling basically attention from the account. So if you have an account that you want to promote, he would boost it to his millions of followers, and then you would get, you know, attention that you've paid for. Basically,
how does a 16-year-old have that many followers? And I have like 200 and they're all cat blogs.
They have time to sit and create content that you do not have time to sit and create. They have time to spend on deep diving into humor. So one Instagram user told Business Insider that he was using his income from selling promotions to help pay for college. He claims that he was making upwards of $200,000 a year from the practice. And Instagram overnight just said, no more for you.
And they didn't give him a reason why, huh?
No, so far there's not really been a reason for it. Basically, they just sort of chopped
them. They just deleted a bunch of accounts?
Yeah. So basically,
do you follow any accounts?
I followed one of them. I followed Yerdank. So it's Yerdank. Now, I can't promise that these are all like safe for work meme accounts. Some of them has language on it. It's a meme account on the internet. So it's kind of.
I wonder if they deleted my favorite one.
Well, and now they're all of the different meme accounts are kind of offering their own reasons for why they think that they did it. A spokesperson.
What's the top opinion out there?
So basically the general consensus, and this is from one of them that actually owns Yerdank, he says that they're just finding an excuse to eliminate meme pages because they kind of like don't have this clean, squeaky image that Instagram kind of wants to maintain. So Instagram
deleted a bunch of accounts.
If you know what Visco is, the VSCO app, I think Instagram kind of wants to be Visco. Like they kind of want to be the artsy photography space. And the meme account is basically graffiti on that image, kind of.
Yeah, that's all I even like.
Right. And I mean,
that's what I like.
That's,
it's not their deal if I like that stuff and want to follow it.
Right. So a spokesperson for Facebook, and this is where it gets really muddy. A spokesperson for Facebook told Business Insider that the practice of selling promotions through a network of accounts doesn't even violate Instagram's terms of service, but that the accounts were removed likely for violating other terms. Now, they haven't even said what these other terms are.
Yeah, but they haven't said what the other terms are.
Right.
Okay.
So a lot of people...
And a lot of them, weren't some of them not... Like, some of them, it seemed like they were, like, nobodies running the account.
Right.
It wasn't, like, companies.
Oh, no, like, that's the actual distinction. Like, some of the company accounts, like the Fat Jewish or F. Jerry, which I can't say the F word on this podcast. I'm not going to go there. But
those are
account names that are effectively media businesses now. They started as meme accounts, and then they became, like, media production companies.
Mm-hmm.
These accounts that got deleted are basically, like, conglomerates of 16-year-olds who got big meme accounts and started to make their own money off of them. So it's a little wonky. It's a little wonky. And I don't know where it's going to go, but it definitely feels, and this is where I get to take out my soapbox and kind of say this, like,
Isaac stands on soapbox in recording studio.
3, 2, 1, go. I work on Facebook and Instagram daily for my job. And
you create content.
I am a content creator, and it is one of the most frustrating platforms to work on because the
Facebook,
rules,
right?
Both. The okay. rules are constantly changing. You're not told when the rules have changed.
Yeah.
And you are essentially in a position then where you can only mitigate your losses, yeah. right? So there's not necessarily ever like a win. It's just constantly trying to mitigate loss. And when you start that relationship with a company, it's so hard to like keep that going and keep your sanity. So I feel for these people. I mean, it's a hard platform to work on.
I also feel like Facebook, there are ways to suspend an account. And then on Instagram, there's not that. So they delete them. So now everyone's going to have to start at zero again.
Right.
With zero
and
followers.
That's where like this petition, this change.org position has been set up to reinstate the accounts. Because I mean, it's hard to build that many accounts, especially with like algorithm changes and all of that. I mean, we could have an entirely separate episode.
I feel like I have a, like the word algorithm is said to me at least once a day.
Yeah. It's, I mean, well,
by you.
Well, we just talked about on the first topic,
God
how the
me.
Internet and life are basically synonymous. So now algorithms are a part of our life that we have to deal with, whether we acknowledge it or not. So it's wild. And the fact that Instagram is in a position where they feel like they can just willy nilly remove accounts and then make up for it by saying, oh, we're doing a meme liaison now. We want to have a pulse on the culture. What they want to do is basically wrangle up.
It's like a presidential campaign almost.
Right. I mean, what they want to do, I think, is delete all of the meme accounts they see as troublesome.
Yeah.
Have their meme liaison work with people who are willing to pay Instagram to keep their rented space.
Yeah.
And then it's,
come on.
It's what happens when a company has a monopoly on the market.
Oof.
Let's just say it. I mean, it's bad.
We should make our own.
The Instagram sniper teams are out the door right now.
We should make our own platform. What are we going to call it?
Well, I mean, we have the Real FM Insider group. I mean, is it on Facebook, though? So that's kind of my, that's my thing about it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Instagram deleted 140-ish meme accounts, and now they're all going, hey, I can't make money now.
I can't go to college.
Right. It's just wild. You wouldn't think that meme accounts are crucial to college tuition, but for at least one
apparently.
Of them. It was. Yeah, I'll link the article for this because it is wild in the footnotes as well. Yeah, if you're wanting to make a meme account, I guess be careful.
So as the resident vegetarian in the room,
yes,
of us two people,
yes,
I have some news.
Okay, what's up?
Yes, so Burger King, Subway, and Dunkin' Donuts are
Boom.
Going meatless.
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 Dun, dun, dun.
So this week, Subway announced that they are going to make their meatball sub. Is it the meatball marinara?
The meatball marinara.
They're going to make it with Beyond Meat, right? Is it Beyond Meat?
Yes.
Beyond Meat.
I love that meatball
meatless.
Sub so much that it was almost shocking to me that you didn't know what it was called because I've ordered it so many times.
I've never had it.
It's the meatball marinara.
Yeah, they're making the meatball marinara vegetarian.
Which is very interesting to me.
I don't think I'm going to eat it now either.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you obviously
I'm not like,
do
I don't want like a plethora of fake meat product. That's not what I'm after as a vegetarian.
That's not what you've been chasing
no.
down?
No.
Really?
No. I haven't even had the Beyond Meat.
You haven't?
No.
See, this is kind of the thing that we're arriving at, that we've now simulated meat so well that they're like,
I don't want that.
It even bleeds a little bit when you bite it. Like,
yeah,
have
you had
that?
It? Have you had it?
No, I haven't had one yet. But
yeah, no, I don't. That's no.
I'm willing to go on a product testing.
I feel like that's for people that eat meat and then they try it and they go, it's not as good as my meat. And then they just like everyone tries it once and then no one actually likes it.
Yeah. And then necessarily like we have this kind of just false idea of just because it's quote unquote vegetarian, it's necessarily healthier. Like they're talking about how all of these vegetarian burgers have like twice the sodium content as a normal beef
hey,
patty.
Hey, stay away from my sodium. but they're lower in cholesterol.
Yeah. So
yeah.
If your doctor is telling
nutritionally
you,
not very dense.
Well, it's a burger. So yeah. you can't say like, I'm going to have a Burger King Whopper with Beyond Meat. and yeah, that's so going to be my salad.
Burger King has actually been kind of a vegetarian haven because they have a veggie burger there.
Okay.
It is not good. I will tell you that. It is not good. You have to go to certain Burger Kings to make sure that they don't like microwave your little hockey puck for too long and it gets tough on the edges.
Cause it's like a little sprout burger, right? Like it's a bean burger.
I mean, it's like, it's about as thin as a piece of paper.
Oh no.
And it's fine. I mean, it's a burger.
Yeah.
It's a veggie burger. It's not good, but it's there.
Well, really, if you live life where you're finding yourself driving around a lot as a vegetarian, mm-hmm. you're kind of like out of luck for a lot
I've
of
had
things.
That veggie burger twice in the last 2 weeks. I've said that and I'm going to eat it, but
it's not good.
I'm going to eat it.
Cut to Brie eating it twice.
I'm going to eat it. I mean, you put cheese on it. It's okay. But now they're going to have the Beyond Meat burger, I think. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And I don't know how I'm going to like that.
So do you think this is just kind of a passing trend of fast food companies wanting to stay relevant
not
with younger audiences?
No, I don't think that at all. I mean, you look at Europe or big cities mm-hmm. and it is vegetarian options out the wazoo. Everybody's going vegetarian now. Everybody's
really?
Going meatless.
When you were in New York, did you find that it was pretty easy to
eat? Yeah, I took a trip to New York like 3 years ago and it was so everywhere vegetarian options.
Wow.
Like not just like, okay, well, here's the salad. It's like actual food. So okay. I was like, okay, that's awesome.
Right.
Yeah. Like you would go to, they have a lot of those like market areas where you grab a salad, you grab your sandwich,
sure.
you grab a soda and it's $30. But they have like, they would have like vegetarian sandwiches, like a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. So it might not be a passing trend. We definitely know that there are a couple of studies done that veggie burgers themselves and sort of this soy meat, this sort of faux.
Don't you come after my soy meat.
Soy meat. It's not necessarily healthier, but if you're going from the route of lower cholesterol, it might be better for you. I know personally, I don't feel physically like gross after I eat a veggie burger. That's me. But yeah, I'm a special snowflake that can't handle tough things on my tummy. So,
I mean, if you're going to eat a burger, it's going to be 1,000 calories no matter what you do, right?
Yeah. So we'll have to see. I'm kind of excited that, I mean, just for the sake of people who have been living in the South as vegetarians, where the idea of a vegetarian salad at this last point has just been pork and not.
So Dunkin'
beef.
Donuts is on this list.
Yeah.
What are they having that's meatless? What was meat? What
they're
was
doing
meatful?
Sausage patties. They do like sausage breakfast patty things.
Are they Beyond Meat brand?
I think it's Beyond Meat brand, or it's one of the other, like, I can't believe it's not meaty. Can't believe it's not meaty or something like that.
Yeah. My favorite brands are not the ones that are the most meaty. I'll just go ahead and say that as a vegetarian. Right. I like what's crispy and flavorful. I don't want it to taste like meat.
Here is where I'm going to feel like I'm actually seen. And I think you know where I'm going with it.
I have no idea where you're going with it.
I want a fried chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A.
Yes.
I want the Chick-fil-A tofu sandwich.
Yeah.
That's been breaded.
I want the soy
fried
nuggets.
In peanut oil.
Yeah.
Make
I want
it
that.
If they can make
if
that happen.
If it was like 5,000 calories, I'd eat it. I don't care.
If it were
I
done
it.
By a questionable government laboratory and it may or may not contain poison, I would still eat it.
It's got chimeras in it. Yeah. No, I want it.
If it could like make me grow a hoof,
yeah,
I would still
I'll
if
eat it.
It were, if it were a 50-50 chance.
I mean, I'd eat it if it made me have hooves anyway.
Yeah.
I'd be half horse.
This feels like a good place to slow down the podcast. Thank you guys for listening this week. It's been a doozy. Boy, we went
how
off
far?
On this one. We're at 24 minutes right now.
That's okay. We can cut out some rambles.
I don't know. Thank you so much for listening.
Sorry if you're late to work because you're sitting in your car listening.
If you've made it to this point in the podcast, that means you are a true OG condiment lover for weekend catch up.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and rate us 5 stars on your podcast platform of choice.
Yep.
My salary is actually determined based on how many stars I get per episode. So do with that information what you will.
It's not, but follow I mean, it us. Should be, right?
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and IG.
Instagram.
At Real FM Online.
Do we have
all
a Pinterest?
Word, Real FM Online. We don't have a Pinterest.
Y'all need a Pinterest.
What would you pin on our pin board if we had one?
Oh, I don't know. Memes.
Memes? Just memes.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where memes. We migrate our meme game to is Pinterest.
Yeah.
TBD. We'll update
TBD.
You next week.
That and, you know, DIY.
Yeah, DIY stuff.
You gotta have DIYs on there.
Sneakers?
No.
Preachers and sneakers?
No. Okay.
Profits and watches?
All right, let's sign off.
See you guys.
Bye.